Trust your heart if the seas catch fire. Written by Black Cat. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, Star Wars. Rating, explicit. Relationship, Miles the Mandalorian, Quinlan Vos. And Miles the Mandalorian, Quinlan Vos, Jaster Mareel. Also tagged for Hidden Jedi Order, Exhibitionism, Politics Made Them Do It, Psychometry or Force Echo, Face Fucking, Possessive Behavior, Dirty Talk, Anal Sex, and Rough Sex. Recorded for Kinktober 2025. Want to know what all this is about? Quinlan asked, bemused, as he tugs at the tight, sleeveless shirt Miles had thrown at him, right before he'd said they had plans and Quinlan had 30 minutes to change and make himself as beautiful as possible. Miles pulls his hand away, gauntlet curling tight around Quinlan's wrist. A ceremony, he says. And there's an odd note to it that makes Quinlan cast him a quizzical look. Ignoring it entirely, Miles pulls him to a halt in the middle of the hallway, looks him over. He brushes the slim golden chains woven through Quinlan's locks and dipping over his forehead like a circlet, skims a touch over the wraps of gold around his throat and biceps and wrist, then breathes out. You're beautiful. He says, quiet but with intensity, and curls his fingers around Quinlan's, tugging his knuckles up to kiss them. Hard to believe I scraped you off the floor of a cantina. Quinlan grins, leaning in and looping his arms around Miles's shoulders. In my defense, that Wookiee was huge, he says. I don't usually need a Mando in shining armor to sweep in and rescue me. Miles snorts, and the curl of his hand around Quinlan's hip is tight, possessive in a way that makes heat spark in Quinlan's veins. I don't think that's the airtight argument you believe it is, Quinlan, he says, dry, and then pauses, stroking Quinlan's bare skin where the cut of his shirt and the low dip of his pants leave the cut of one hip bone exposed. Quinlan cocks his head. Interested, because Miles right now feels like a roil of nerves and anticipation and heat, heady and thick, just a little bit wary. Miles? He asks, a little concerned, because he's known Miles for 2 months now, has been living in his quarters and sleeping in his bed for nearly as long, even under the impression that Quinlan's just an exotic dancer who's fallen on hard times. On the run from his family, Miles has been nothing but kind, indulgent, generous. He's good in bed, too, and he's not Force-sensitive enough that Quinlan's had to worry about getting outed as a trained Jedi when the Order is supposed to be lost to history. Besides, if this was about Miles finding out that Quinlan's a Jedi living in the Mandalorian Empire, There would probably be a lot more blasters involved in this talk and fewer kisses. And then, on a quiet breath, Miles says evenly, I haven't been telling you the truth. Quinlan raises a brow, though he doesn't try to pull back. What about, he asks, bemused, you being a Corran? Are you actually a Twi'lek in disguise? Ow! Miles scoffs, wrapping his fingers tighter in Quinlan's locks and rubbing his thumb over the twists, the blue and dark gray beads there that match his armor. Don't be an idiot, he says, and then sighs, faintly annoyed. Self-directed, Quinlan thinks, cocking his head. Usually Miles gets annoyed at everyone else and does a decent job of pretending to be the only reasonable one. Not that anyone but another Mandalorian would even attempt to call him reasonable. Is this the part where you dump me for being a stripper to save your reputation? He asks, raising his brows. That's stupid too, Miles tells him, and then grimaces and says, I told you I was an aide to a commander. Of all the things he could say, that's maybe the most surprising. And Quinlan cocks his head. You're saying you're not? He asks. I've seen all the paperwork you bring home, and I don't think that was fake, or you wouldn't have to fuck me for stress relief so often. With a quiet snort, Miles leans up across the difference in their heights, tugs Quinlan down and kisses him, careful not to smudge the smoky coal around his eyes. His thumb strokes one of Quinlan's kakuf, following the sweep of it back towards his hairline, and then he breathes out, slow and deliberate. The stress relief is just a bonus when I fuck you, he says, and meets Quinlan's eyes. I'm second in command to the Mandalore. Quinlan pauses, caught entirely off guard, and shifts back on his heels, only to have Miles tighten his grip and haul him back in. The Mandalore? He repeats, and feels an edge of wariness rise, a sharp, unsettled awareness of just how close this puts him to one of the most dangerous men in the galaxy. Calculation, too, because he's been trying to dig up more information on Jaster Mareel to pass back to Tholme. And then, quiet, Miles says, Quinlan, your aunt found out you were here, and she sent a diplomatic message to Jaster demanding that he hand you over. He doesn't have a good reason not to. It's going to cause a diplomatic incident. Quinlan goes still, anger twisting alongside the horrible, hunted feeling he's been trying to avoid for the last 20 years, ever since he watched Tinte Vos murder his parents. The scar on his palm where she forced his mother's medallion into his grip aches, and he takes a breath, shifts back. Don't, Miles says, quiet. Steady. He still hasn't let go. By Mandalorian law, Lady Vos's claim supersedes any other, because you're her clan. But there's a way to fix that. 20 years of running, ever since Tholme stole him away from Khifu in the middle of the night. 20 years of dodging his aunt's hunters, because if he ever speaks up about what she did and people believe him, she'll lose her position as the planet's ruler. That well-trained wariness tangles with defiance, with fear, because the Jedi Order has no power, no influence, no government behind it. Just people like Tholme trying to save lives, trying to protect Force-sensitive children, and it works, usually. But Tinte Vos is more motivated than most, crueler than most, and Quinlan's been running for a long, long time. It takes effort to dredge up the humor through that familiar fear and loathing. But Quinlan smiles, leans into the hand that cups his cheek. What, you're going to marry me? He asks lightly, makes it a joke. Miles shakes his head, and in contrast, his voice is perfectly serious. I can't, he says plainly. I'm a foundling, and my clan was wiped out in the war. I don't have enough authority to outweigh the ruler of a whole planet, but he hesitates just for a moment, and Quinlan takes in the curl of his determination, tangled up with anticipation, and raises both brows. That feels like a big but, he says, touching light fingers to the long scar on Miles's jaw. I thought you were dragging me somewhere for a kinky sex ritual, Miles. What's going on? That's not entirely wrong, Miles says carefully. Quinlan lets the expression on his face speak for itself. Miles doesn't quite wince, but the thought is there. He curls a hand over Quinlan's on his cheek, closing his eyes. Jaster's clan is small, but he's the Mandalore. He has enough power to tell Tinte Vos to go to hell and stay there. So you want me to marry the Mandalore? Quinlan gives him the look it definitely deserves. You're going to hand me off to someone else. Miles's expression wavers for a moment, and finally he snorts. Kind of, he says. There's a ceremony where the Mandalore can temporarily grant one of his spouses to his commanders, even if they're outside his clan. So he's going to marry you, then grant you to me. No handing you off anywhere, but... He takes a breath, trepidation rising to overwhelm everything else for a moment, then meets Quinlan's eyes and says plainly, But for it to be official, I have to fuck you while he watches. Heat shivers down Quinlan's spine, and his breath catches. He pauses, taking in Miles's expression, and... That's not his deadpan face. Weren't you telling me all about sleeping with your commander? He asks after a moment, and amusement is rising, twisting up through him along with a thread of heat as he drapes his arms around Miles's neck. Are you sure this isn't just you wanting a threesome, Miles? Miles rolls his eyes, like Quinlan can't see the red staining the dark skin of his cheeks. You were the one getting off to the idea of me fucking my commander over his desk the other day, he points out, and his hand splays over Quinlan's back, fingertips digging in just a little, deliberate pressure like he's just resisting the urge to drag Quinlan even closer. From what I remember, you really enjoyed that. Quinlan chuckles, leaning in to press their foreheads together, and... Miles is Force-sensitive as a Corun, though his sense of it is rather dimmer than most. He knows Quinlan's strong in the Force, as a Kefar with above-average psychometry, and that's a good way to use skills that are technically Jedi-strong without being pegged as a Jedi. He brushes Miles's mind, lets him feel the spill of Quinlan's interest, intrigue, worry, fear, concern. And Miles's breath slides out of him on a sound that's almost a sigh of relief. Wrapping his arm around Quinlan's waist, he pulls him in, presses his face to Quinlan's shoulder, and closes his eyes. The alternative, he says, half-muffled, is that I could stage a coup, depose Jaster, and then tell your aunt to go fuck a bantha myself. Quinlan outright laughs at that, startled into it. And cups the back of Miles's head, his soft, tight curls cropped short to easily fit under a helmet. You already complain about your workload, he points out, though it's impossible to fight his smile. You really want to take on more work? I already do most of the work, Miles mutters, though there's no heat in it. And Quinlan can feel his fondness for Jaster sliding through the words like gilt threads. Something that's been present in their nebulous, undefined relationship right from the start. He hums, indulgent, and feels Miles sigh against his collarbone. Don't do that. Don't sound like you're humoring me. I could if I wanted to. Is that your evil plan? Quinlan jokes. Depose the Mandalore and then make us both your concubines? Because I know I look good in a thong and body glitter. I know you do, and so does everyone in Keldabe, Miles tells him, though the arm around Quinlan curls a little tighter. Jealousy, Quinlan thinks, amused, and presses his forehead to Miles's. Miles has a tendency towards that. The product of growing up as the middle child of six foundlings. If he's decided something is his, he'll cut off hands to keep anyone else from touching it. Probably a useful instinct in a Mandalorian. It's not something Quinlan is used to, that's all. He's had lovers over the years who liked him, who loved him, but none that would go out of their way to keep him. Not given the way Quinlan lives, the roles he tends to take on in the process. This, though, this is something different. Potential safety if the plan works. A place Quinlan can actually stay where Tinte can't reach him. Where no matter how much she threatens and how many assassins she's sent previously, Quinlan won't have to worry. If she pisses off the Mandalore or injures anyone close to him, she's going to have an entire empire out for blood. It might even be safe enough to bring Ayla and Tholm here, if they want to come. And Quinlan feels the twist of their absence, the ache of being a threat to them that could just stop mattering if this succeeds. Quinlan's already been inclined to ask Miles to invite his commander to join them for some fun. Fucking in front of him seems like the smallest of prices to pay in the face of that. This seems like the most convoluted way to fix things, he says against Miles's hair, and Miles huffs in amusement. It's left over from the Crusades, he says. We're lucky Jaster even knows about it. And that we don't have to fuck in the middle of a circle of his top commanders all offering advice. Quinlan laughs, letting himself relax a little into Miles's hold.
Duke Kreese would faint,
he says, because the man already looked uncomfortable when Miles introduced Quinlan to him, with Quinlan all dressed up. Anything more scandalous and it might be dangerous to his health. Miles pauses, lifting his head, and just for a second he looks torn. I could tell him that it's part of the ceremony. Quinlan arches an eyebrow at him.
You really want the Duke to get an eyeful?
No, Miles says on a sigh, though it's deeply regretful. But it would be the perfect revenge for all the headaches he gives me.
Mandos,
Quinlan says, amused, and rolls his eyes, even as he brushes light fingertips over the back of Miles's neck. It gives him just a momentary flash of the press of armor, a gauntleted hand hooked right where his fingers are now, another man leaning in. Quinlan's never met the Mandalore, never planned to, but he would be willing to bet that the man kissing Miles, slowly, lazily, like they have all the time in the universe, is actually the ruler of the whole empire.
I can't believe you didn't tell me you're basically Jaster Mareel's second in command, he complains,
and when Miles tenses faintly, Quinlan huffs.
I would definitely have invited him to join us when you first started talking about making him scream your name in revenge for late-night diplomatic meetings.
Miles is flushing again, pointedly looking away, though they're pressed so close it doesn't do much.
So you're willing?
He asks, and the words catch a little, tangled up with a simmering want that's greedy and a little guilty and as bright as relief.
Yeah,
Quinlan says, and when Miles slants a cautious look at him, he leans in, kisses him lightly.
As long as I get to ask him which version of the canons he based his work on when he rewrote them.
Miles groans, deeply put upon, and propels Quinlan back into motion, arm hooked tight around his back.
If I'd known you were a blasted nerd, I would have left you on the cantina floor, he says, disgusted.
I like to know the context of the things I'm touching, Quinlan protests, though he doesn't even try to stop his grin.
If I'm going to get slammed face first into historical events every time I pick up an old piece of silverware, I might as well understand what I'm seeing.
You made me think you were just a pretty face and some nice muscles, Miles accuses, tugging him around the next corner.
I was taken in.
Quinlan laughs, eyes on the looming door of the throne room ahead of them. A thread of wariness rises, tangled with interest. And then he breathes through them, settles himself. "That sounds like something you need to work on," he says, and then lighter. "Anything I need to do in particular? Just lie back and think of Mandalore?" There's a breath, and Miles strokes a thumb over his hip again, that jittery sense of want sharp beneath his skin. "Afterwards," he says, "Jaster will need to kiss each of us. And he'll be watching the whole time." A shiver slides down Quinlan's spine, curls into anticipation, and he's always enjoyed that kind of thing. In the instances he's had a partner willing to indulge, the fact that Miles feels like one live nerve under his touch right now is proof that he really doesn't mind. And Quinlan doesn't know how Jaster is feeling, but given the flashes he's seen of the Mandalore's relationship to Miles, he's hopefully just as willing. "Just a kiss? After having to watch you take me apart?" Quinlan jokes. "That doesn't seem fair." Miles slants him a quick, almost furtive glance, then turns his eyes forward determinedly. "We can invite him to take a turn after we're sure Lady Vos isn't going to hang your head off her fortress walls," he says, like Quinlan can't feel him imagining it, vividly. Jaster and Quinlan tangled together, kissing messily around Miles's cock. It makes him shiver, and Miles's flush deepens sharply, but he doesn't try to defend himself. Doesn't pause, just pulls Quinlan along with him through the high entrance into the brightness of the throne room. As the doors swing softly shut behind them, Quinlan looks up the length of the old hall, past carved mythosaur bone columns and puddles of multicolored light from the stained glass windows, past the pile of blankets and cushions clearly laid out for them, to the plain throne set back on a low dais. Sprawled in it, apparently perfectly willing to see this through, is a figure in black and red armor, helmet set at his feet and face bare, who Quinlan has glimpsed in 100 compromising situations, but never in real life. "Miles," the Mandalore says as the doors thud closed, and he rises, steps down. Quinlan can feel the sweep of his gaze, slow, assessing, lingering, and it makes his breath catch. He hesitates just for a moment, and then bows, because anything else would make Tholm bump him over the head with his cane. "Mandalore," he says, and Miles takes a breath and nods shortly, inclining his head to Jaster. "Mandalore," he returns and holds Jaster's gaze. Something passes between them, and Jaster smiles sharp like he just won some kind of argument. His gaze flickers back to Quinlan, and he holds out a hand, waits for Quinlan to slide his own into Jaster's grip, then tugs him a step closer and right out of Miles' hold.
"So this is my new husband," he says, mild. "Miles has been telling me all about you, Quinlan."
Heat curls through Quinlan's stomach, and he laughs a little as Jaster presses a kiss to his palm. It sparks an image of Miles on his back, Jaster astride his hips, their hands tangled on skin and gripping tightly. And Quinlan's breath feels hot as it unspools from his lungs.
"Oh yeah?" he asks, tipping his head innocently. "All about how I made him sit around the armory hall while I got the history of every single weapon in there, probably, right? He complained about that one a lot."
Interest sparks, tangled up with humor, and Jaster laughs.
"He failed to mention that,"
he says, and the drag of his thumb over Quinlan's palm is slow, rubbing circles there like he knows Quinlan can see sparks of all the places on Miles where those hands have been with each touch.
"But clearly this marriage is on far more of a solid foundation than I thought when I proposed it. I'll have to have you walk me through what you found."
"Anytime.
since you're still technically my husband after this, right? Quinlan says, and it's a little rougher than he intends it to be, on the edge of breathy, as Jaster studies his face, strokes lightly over Quinlan's hand in slow, deliberate sweeps. Kifar have more nerves there than a human, and it's twisting the heat up tighter in Quinlan's belly, making it a little hard to breathe. Jaster smiles lazily, and he absolutely knows what he's doing, Quinlan thinks with a flicker of amused admiration. This might be Jaster watching him and Miles fuck, but there's no way Jaster is just going to leave it at that, clearly. Correct, he says, and glances at Miles, then tugs Quinlan back towards the throne, where a datapad is waiting. The Tongue had many problems with fertility, so the Mandalore loaning out their spouse was a way to increase the number of children, since it was assumed that the clan heads would all make sure to have heirs, and therefore more fertile partners. For all intents and purposes, though, our marriage stands in every legal way your aunt could think to test it, no matter who you're sleeping with. Not that Quinlan expects Jaster will keep not sleeping with them for much longer, he thinks with amusement, and takes the pad carefully when Jaster offers it. There's not much resonance to it in the Force, thankfully. It's new, has only been used a few times, and Quinlan senses Miles' hand in that. He knows how little Quinlan likes going without his gloves, but his annoyance at wearing them during sex, too. Jaster hands him the stylus, meeting his gaze. Legally, our names on a document is all we need to certify the marriage. An exchange of vambraces is traditional, though.
Even though I don't wear armor?
Quinlan asks, raising a brow. He pauses to check over the simple form, making sure it is what it looks like, and then puts his signature next to Jaster's on the line. It feels like too small a thing to be what it is, but when Jaster takes it back, he nods in satisfaction and then sets the pad aside. Usually, your Mandalorian spouse would have a set of armor made for you, as a sign of welcoming you into the clan, and make a vambrace for sharing as well. Jaster says, turning back, but given the circumstances, he unhooks his own vambrace, the metal sleek and matte black in the afternoon light. I'm afraid with the short time frame Lady Vos gave for a response, there was no opportunity to make this new. Hopefully, the safety of wearing the Mandalore's personal armor outweighs the unpleasantness of whatever you might see. Given how many battles Jaster has been in personally, it's not an unreasonable concern. And Quinlan closes his eyes but holds out his arm. As the cold metal touches his bare skin, as Jaster tightens the straps, Quinlan breathes through the tangle of images that spin around him. The vambrace is well-worn armor, the sense of Jaster ingrained into the metal like a phantom. And for a moment, it's hard for Quinlan to tell where he ends and where Jaster starts, that imprint overwhelming. He blinks through the images of a firefight, of a crashing ship, of a vote before the clan heads, of stacks of books and low light and desperate, vicious righteousness, tangled up with fury and focus, and then says, a little ragged, as long as you don't mind me being all in your brain for a while. Jaster pauses, and his dark eyes slide over Quinlan's face, taking in his expression for a long moment, before he smiles, lazy, intent. I think I can live with my husband knowing who I am, he says, and catches Quinlan's hand, checks that the vambrace is tight, and then loops their arms together, turning Quinlan back towards where Miles is braced, nervous but waiting. It's a shame we won't even get a wedding night, Jaster says, mild, a little sly, and the slide of his fingers over Quinlan's palm and up his wrist burns, heady enough to make Quinlan's breath catch and his head spin. But I've been waiting to reward my most loyal commander for so long, and this seems like the perfect opportunity. Miles? Mandalore, Miles asks formally, and takes a step forward before he pulls himself up short. Jaster makes a sound of amusement. "For the health and wealth of your clan," he says, and when Miles reaches out, Jaster sets Quinlan's hand in his, then steps back. "I grant you the privilege of relations with my husband for as long as all parties remain willing. Prove to me your willingness and the deal is set." Miles breathes out, folding his fingers around Quinlan's and closing his eyes. Quinlan feels it like a kick in his chest. The relief, the tangled heat, the want. And he steps closer, right into Miles' grip, as Miles draws him in, wraps an arm around him. "As you wish, Mandalore," Miles says, a little rough, and his hand slides up Quinlan's hip, dragging his shirt up with the touch. Quinlan can feel Jaster stepping back, can hear the sound of boots on the flagstones, but he can't look away from Miles as Miles drags him in, pulls him down into a bruising kiss. Eager, Quinlan thinks, and the amusement at the thought is swallowed up by the heat of it, the pressure of Miles's hands rucking up his shirt, pressing his pants even lower. The Vambrace bumps Miles' armor, and the fact that Quinlan is already so much in Jaster's head from wearing it means that there are no images of blood or war or anything but Jaster and Miles. Armored bodies pressing together, mouths locked, hands groping. Quinlan groans, too hot already, too into it. And when Miles pushes him down onto the laid-out blankets, shedding armor as he comes to a halt, Quinlan goes readily, and then immediately reaches for Miles again. The way Miles jolts when Quinlan pulls his comma off, gets his flight suit open, is entirely gratifying. As is the way his normally steady hands fumble over armor pieces when Quinlan drags his cock free, already hard. His head falls back, his hips hitch, and he groans, "Quinn!" Quinlan laughs, and his head is still spinning. That sense of Jaster right against his skin, tangled up in the weight of Jaster's eyes on them from where he's sitting, sprawled on the lowest step of the dais. When Quinlan glances over past Miles' bulk, Jaster is watching, intent, fingers curled tight against his own black armor. And Quinlan can feel the heavy, hungry desire that rises from him even more clearly than he can feel it from most people. "Does the fact that we're fucking in front of an audience mean I can't have my mouth on your dick?" he asks, makes it lazy, as he strokes Miles' cock. Slow strokes from root to tip that make Miles groan thick and low in his throat, make him thrust into the touch just a little. "There's no checklist or rules for this part," Miles manages, but his gaze darts to Jaster on the steps, and Quinlan can feel the way the heat in him sharpens, turns liquid and hungry as he slides his fingers into Quinlan's locks. Quinlan leans in, kisses the tip of Miles' cock, then wraps his mouth around it, rides the jerk of Miles' hips, catches himself on Miles' thighs, and presses forward, swallowing and sucking as he takes more and more of it. Miles' breathy little sounds are louder than they normally are, and the grip of his hand in Quinlan's hair is tighter, almost painful, as he watches Quinlan swallow down his cock, easing himself down the shaft until it's pressing into his throat, until he's taken the whole length of it. Miles' hand presses him there, holds him still as he clutches tight at Quinlan's locks, as he rocks his cock in and out of Quinlan's mouth. The thrusts are shallow at first, and Quinlan swallows around him each time he bottoms out, feels as much as hears Miles' groan. Miles' other hand is still working on removing his armor, letting pieces drop carelessly as he pushes down Quinlan's throat, careful thrusts that quickly turn harder, sloppier, until he's fucking Quinlan's face, and Quinlan just tries to take it as Miles drags him into each thrust, doesn't let him up. Miles is weak to a blowjob, always, and there's an edge of delight in making his control shatter this easily, in wringing out those high, sharp noises as he uses Quinlan's mouth, loses the tight, domineering calculation that he always wraps himself in. A low groan slides across Quinlan's skin, but it's not Miles's. Jaster's instead, pressed up to Quinlan's senses like he's in Jaster's head, and he can feel the throb of want, the way Jaster shifts, spreads his legs a little more to relieve the pressure on his codpiece, can see just for an instant the way he and Miles look through Jaster's eyes. Miles, with his head tipped back, face slack with pleasure, fucking into Quinlan's mouth. Quinlan, with his coal smeared, Miles' hands both gripping his hair, his own hand curled around Miles' thighs and pulling him in to bottom out. The image hits hard, wraps itself up in barbed knots in Jasser's belly, and the heat bleeds over, floods Quinlan in turn. He moans, and above him, Miles curses, uses his grip on Quinlan's locks to drag him off his cock with a ragged breath. An instant later, Miles hits the makeshift bed on his knees, slams his mouth to Quinlan's. He kisses the taste of himself out of Quinlan's mouth, deep, hungry, and Quinlan kisses back, hard, all clashing teeth and tangled tongues and bitten lips. There's a sharp tug, a pull, and Quinlan breaks the kiss for just long enough to let Miles drag his shirt over his head, drop it to the side. Jaster shifts again, boots scraping the stone, and Quinlan can feel the hitch of his breath, the long, slow slide of it escaping as he sweeps a look over Quinlan's broad shoulders, the fall of his hair, the curve of his ass as Miles grabs it. It feels a little like performing, dragging every eye to him, but immediate, hotter, with an edge of desire that Quinlan hadn't expected. The Mandalore is staring at them, breath coming hard, cock hard in his codpiece, desperately trying not to touch himself as he watches his best friend fuck his new husband. He's one of the most powerful, dangerous men in the galaxy, and right now, he's helpless to move, helpless to do anything but watch Miles and Quinlan fuck in front of him. Miles meets Quinlan's eyes, and Quinlan can see the same awareness in his face, the knowledge that Jaster is only a few paces away, ratcheting up the heat between them. Amusement sparks, tangled with desire, and Miles catches Quinlan's chin in one hand, kisses him messily, then pushes. Quinlan moves with it, sprawls out on the bedding even as he reaches for the button on his pants, kicks his boots off, hitches the tight fabric down. Miles is the one to pull them all the way off, and he sinks back on his knees, drags his flight suit down and off, then curls forward. He braces himself over Quinlan, thigh pressed up between his legs, and leans down, stealing a long, slow, deep kiss as he strokes a hand down Quinlan's side, over his hip, grips one of his thighs. "Can you see, Jaster?" he asks, and it's impressively even given how hard his cock is. How it's dripping, the faint tremble in his hands as he strokes the muscles of Quinlan's thigh deliberately. "We wouldn't want to have to go another round just because you were at the wrong angle." Jasser's breath is just a little ragged, and his fingers curl tight into the cool metal of his armor as he fights for control. "I think you're all right there," he says and swallows. Quinlan kisses Miles to hide his grin, hooking an arm around his shoulders. "Tease," he breathes against his lips, quiet enough that Jaster won't hear it. Miles smirks, unrepentant, and curls a hand around Quinlan's cock, stroking tightly. It makes Quinlan groan, thrusting up into that firm grip, and Miles slides his mouth down Quinlan's throat, bites at the tendons there, nips at his collarbones, kisses his way down Quinlan's sternum. Hands up, he orders, and Quinlan huffs, reaches for him. Snake quick, Miles catches his wrist, slams his hands down to the blankets. Don't make me turn you over and spank you, he says, just loud enough to carry. Quinlan grins, all teeth.
You always say that and then never do it, he complains. Going to promise me a good time and then not follow through again? Maybe I should go back to my husband. I bet he'd put me over his knee and make me cry.
Heat bolts through Jaster, sharp enough that even Miles can feel it. His eyes darken and he meets Quinlan's gaze again, dips down to kiss him, brief and bruising. If you want to go crawling back to him, that means I'm not going to fuck you, he says. And the weight of Jaster's gaze is a tangible thing, slides hot over Quinlan's skin as he holds himself still, eyes flicking from Miles to Quinlan.
Really?
Quinlan asks lazily, watching Miles' face, wrapping himself up in Jaster's hunger.
If I crawl over to him on my hands and knees and beg him to screw me, you think he'd really leave me hanging? I bet he'd fuck me on the steps over there, show me a really good time.
Miles' breath rasps out of his throat, and his hands curl tight around Quinlan's wrists. I thought I taught you not to be such a brat, he says, trying for cool, though Quinlan can hear the thin edge to it, the want that's overwhelming the steadiness.
Guess the lesson didn't stick, Quinlan says sweetly,
and slides a thigh up between Miles's, rubs against his hard cock with deliberate lightness, just as tease.
Going to try and teach me again?
I know Jaster's just going to indulge all your bad habits, so I guess it has to be me, Miles breathes out, then leans down, kissing Quinlan hard. He digs under the edge of the blankets and comes up with a tub of lube and sits back on his heels as he untwists the cap, raking a lingering, hungry look over Quinlan. Hands up, Quinn. This time Quinlan does as he's told, because the faster he can get that pretty cock right where he wants it, the better. The obedience makes Miles scoff, and Quinlan grins at him, perfectly innocent.
I should never have scraped you off that cantina floor, Miles tells him, hitching Quinlan's legs up over his thighs.
He slides slick fingers up along Quinlan's cock, over his sack, then pushes the first one straight into him without hesitation. And Quinlan breathes out, relaxes into the stroke of it. Jaster is frozen, fingers digging into his armor, and Quinlan arches his back, fists his hands in the blankets, rolls his hips back into the second finger Miles shoves into him, riding each slick stroke. He makes a show of it, head back, gasping as Miles stretches him, moaning when he adds a third finger just a little too soon, just the way Quinlan likes it.
Yeah, but then who'd suck your brains out through your dick before every morning meeting?
Quinlan asks, breathy, and his moan breaks on a cry as Miles' fingers press hard into his prostate, stroke right there over and over until Quinlan is arching and shoving back and gasping with the spinning, shivery force of pleasure burning through him.
That is a perk, Miles says, rough.
And when Quinlan presses the feeling of Jaster desperately fighting his own arousal into his mind, Miles smiles, quick and a little wicked.
You don't know how many times I've walked into Jaster's office with my cock still wet from your pretty mouth, Quinlan. Or right after I've fucked you so hard your legs stopped working. Are you going to show him why I can't get enough of you? Why I'd pass my lover off to the Mandalore without hesitation if it meant I got to keep him? Do you know what it means that I like you enough to want to share, Quinn?
Quinlan shudders, and it's not exaggerated this time. Not for show, even as he lets his head fall back on a cry, as the awareness of Jaster's gaze on them redoubles.
He feels it, prickling like electricity over his skin, that intensity and focus and want, contained but so eager to touch, it's driving him mad. That feeling, that emotion knots itself in Quinlan's veins, drives the heat higher as Miles presses him open, slicks himself up with hitched breaths and quiet groans. His fingers are wicked, scissoring open, stretching Quinlan, only to retreat just a little too quickly. And Quinlan whines, pushes down, but can't get more. Criff, I just fucked you this morning, and you still are like this? Miles asks, but it's a breathless thing, and laughter shudders out of Quinlan's throat. He wraps a leg over Miles' waist, pulls him in, and says, like a tease meant for Miles and Jaster both, "That time up against the wall in the shower, or the time I woke you up sucking your cock and you put me face down in the pillows and made me scream." "And you're still tight," Miles says, twisting his fingers inside Quinlan one more time and then drawing them out. Before Quinlan can do more than hiss in protest, Miles catches his hip, rolls him over, and pulls him up. And Quinlan gasps as he's dragged up onto Miles' lap. Miles' slick cock sliding between his thighs, bumping up against Quinlan's own. He groans, sinking back into Miles' hold, and impossible to miss the fact that he's entirely on display right now. Jaster can see everything from his angle, nearly every inch of Quinlan, and when Miles leans back, one hand braced on the floor, Quinlan shifts with him, lets Miles' arm locked around his waist be the main thing holding him in place as he reaches down, catches Miles' cock, and guides it to his hole. With a grunt, Miles presses up, grip tightening, and Quinlan moans at the sharp angle, the stretch. He lets his head fall back, cheek pressed to Miles' temple. And like this, Miles is too short to kiss, so there isn't even that to take the edge off, to give Quinlan an outlet. His knees are only just touching the floor, and Miles is driving into him with sharp shoves, locking Quinlan in place against his chest as he works himself in. Deliberate, Quinlan reaches down with the arm that bears Jaster's vambrace, drags his hand over his own thighs, his stomach, his chest, rubs at his nipples, squeezing, pulling, and gasps as Miles slams up the last few inches, bottoms out. He rolls his hips and Quinlan moans, shuddering, clenching around him as Miles' cock drags inside him, not retreating, just moving. "Don't stop," Miles orders, breathless, and Quinlan shudders but keeps tugging at his own nipples, ignoring how hard he is, the aching urge to touch himself, the little flares of almost pain as he twists, pulls at them, focuses on the weight of Miles deep inside him. It's not enough, but it's right on the edge of being just right. "You can come like this, can't you, Quinn?" Miles asks, still not pulling out, just rocking Quinlan on his cock, small little rolls of his hip that make Quinlan vividly, viciously aware of every inch of his shaft as he clenches down again, grinds down against Miles' bulk. "You love taking cock, don't you? I get inside you and you come all over yourself, make a mess all over the bed. One of these days I'm going to see what you do when you've got two cocks inside you. Stuff you to the brim and make you come so many times you pass out. And when you wake up, we'll still be there, fucking you out of your mind." Quinlan cries out at a hard hitch of his cock, at the flare of heat and want and need from Jaster, so close to touching himself that it burns. He grabs, catching Miles' ribs, trying to urge him on, but Miles doesn't let himself be moved, just keeps up those maddening, shallow rolls, his cock pressed right up against every sensitive nerve, his arm an iron brand that keeps Quinlan from moving more than an inch. "Even I can feel how much he wants you," Miles breathes in Quinlan's ear, kissing his throat, his jaw. When Quinlan moans, squirms, tries to push down, Miles gives him two hard thrusts that leave him gasping, then drives himself into the hilt again, just rocking there, slow and deep. All he's looking at is you, Quinn. He wants to fuck you so badly right now. I know all his tells, and he's about to cream his codpiece watching you squirm on my cock. Quinlan shudders, tries to ride Miles' cock with desperate little pushes, but Miles has all the leverage. He holds Quinlan still, rocking them together, and his cheek is pressed to Quinlan's shoulder, but his eyes are fixed on Jaster. Jaster is still sprawled on the steps, boots braced on the stone, and behind his armor it's impossible to see how hard he is, but Quinlan can hear his ragged breaths, can feel the maddening, needy avarice, the urge to push up and across the floor, cover Quinlan, press inside his stuffed hole, and finish out Miles's fantasy. He's trying so desperately to sit still, to not let it show, but Miles and Quinlan can both feel him. It's a heady thing. The Mandalore, the leader of a whole empire, watching them like he can't tear his eyes away, wanting so vividly as Quinlan moans and fucks down on Miles's cock as best he can, as Miles gives in and lets Quinlan slide down just enough to get his knees on the ground. He drives up and Quinlan meets his bruising thrust with a cry, takes it as Miles pounds into him, rides those hard thrusts and shouts as Miles turns his head, bites. He comes untouched, making a mess across his thighs, trembling with the force of it. And Miles drags him up, shoves him forward onto his hands and knees. He fucks into Quinlan with a groan, arms still tight around him, biting at his shoulder, dragging at his softening cock. And Quinlan's high, sharp cry makes him grunt, slamming into the hilt. He empties himself into Quinlan with a curse, then buries his face in Quinlan's locks and just breathes, still buried deep. Carefully, Quinlan shifts, and the thought of Miles pulling out, of standing up after this and having to face Jaster with Miles' spend trickling down his thighs, is enough to make him shiver. He glances up, and Jaster is still watching, forcing himself still even as he meets Quinlan's eyes, lets Quinlan see the naked hunger written into every line of his face. "Satisfied, Mandalore?" Miles asks, rough, and eases himself out of Quinlan, giving his ass an appreciative squeeze as he settles back. "Did we earn that kiss of approval?" Jaster takes a breath, shifts, leans forward, and that smile is just as wicked as Miles ever gets. Makes Quinlan's breath hitch in his chest.
"I'm afraid I couldn't tell that you were both willing,"
Jaster says, perfectly mild, all rough want underneath the surface. And he holds Quinlan's gaze like a dare, glances up to meet Miles' eyes.
"Once more, if you wouldn't mind. We have to make sure, after all."
The end. If you enjoyed this podfic and would like to leave a comment for either myself or for the author, you are more than welcome to.
If you'd like to leave a comment for me, the Podficker, you can do so on the Podfic post, which is probably wherever you found the Podfic in the first place. If you'd like to leave a comment for the author, the place to do that is on the text post, which is linked from the Podfic post. Thanks for listening.